The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Keeping It Real with former NFL wide receiver and Auburn University standout, Jairus McIntyre. Are you ready to hear it live from the athletes, celebrities, and fans? Jairus, his co-hosts, and his guests will keep you laughing, thinking, and talking. Now, here's your host, Jairus McIntyre.
What's going on, listeners? We are back on Keeping It Real, live from Tampa, Florida. I'm your host, Jairus McIntyre. With my guest host, Ron Mack, back in the building. What's going on, Ron Mack?
Oh, nothing much, man. Nothing much. You know, trying to, you know, shake this SEC thing off, man, because we're dominating football, basketball, baseball, everything, man. They going to put the SEC out the NCAA, man.
Yeah, they just move them up to their own minor league system or whatnot, man, because like you said, it seems like we're dominating everything, man. And nothing more than a dominating fashion, the way the Kentucky Wildcats came out last night and put it on Kansas. Obviously, you know, Kansas has a rich tradition in basketball, and they had a pretty good team, man. But when you're dealing with a team like Kentucky, Coach Calipari, you know, with the way he recruits and the players that he had on that roster, you know, they're saying two or three lottery picks maybe, the best player in the country, and a lot of other key components to help them have a team like that. I mean, very unselfish, you know, unselfish team. A lot of superstars, a lot of guys that were, you know, very highly coming in to college, and they put it together and had one of the more dominating teams in some of the history. I mean, Ron Mack, I know you're a basketball guy. You coach it. And for what you saw with Kentucky just throughout the season, man, to be that dominating, to have that many, you know, McDonald All-Americans, you know, year after year after year, for them to put them together just this year and have them dominate the way they did. I mean, that was show coaching. And I really think that it takes, you know, one of those stern, veteran-type coaches to be able to mix and bring a lot of different players like that in one year and be successful the way they were.
Yeah, well, like I said, what's impressive to me is I don't think that was Calipari's best team since he's been at Kentucky. It wasn't his best team. But what that team did more than any other team that he's had so far is that team was truly a team. It's hard to recruit the one-and-done players and get the team chemistry to mix. That team when he had Cousins and John Wall and Bledsoe and the other big guy, Orton, that was probably his best team as far as talent, you know, person for person, man for man. But, you know, Wall wanted his, Cousins wanted his, everybody wanted theirs. This team here truly bought into the, you know, we all, you know, get some of the pie and won't none of us take too much of the pie and we'll be able to win like that. So what was impressive, I don't think he's a hell of a coach. I don't think Calipari is a hell of a coach, but he is a tireless recruiter and he has found a niche with the one and done players, which will give him elite talent year after year. And he'll be in the running, man, if he can get him to buy in to play team ball.
No, but Ron, how is he not a hell of a coach if, you know, what he did at UMass, what he did at Memphis, what he's doing at Kentucky, he's done that three different, you know, pretty big-time basketball schools, And I mean, for what he Memphis, what he did at Memphis, to get that many highly recruited players, and like you said, in the age of the one and done, it's kind of hard to develop a team. He developed a team, you know, year after year after year. Whereas, you know, a school like Duke or even North Carolina and even Kansas, I mean, they could, for the most part, have their players 2, 3, maybe even 4 years. But in the situation that he's been in, at the school that he's been at, and the players that he recruited have been to the caliber where they could be one and done, I think that makes him a hell of a coach to be able to put a team like that together in 1 year and do what they've done. I mean, he did it in Memphis. I mean, with all those guys, they had a Memphis. Did it at Memphis. I mean, you look at, you know, Billy Donovan, yeah, he's a hell of a coach. But, I mean, at least he had to have Kim Noah and all those guys for a couple of years. I mean, Calipari got these guys for 1 year, and they're gone. So, I mean, I would say he is a hell of a coach just from his track record. And obviously, he won his first title. But I think, you know, the history just speaks for itself and what he's done, you know, in this era. What do you think about the big man in the middle at Kentucky, man? I mean, they're saying he's going to be the first overall pick. And I like his game. I mean, he's a defender. He can score when he's in. I mean, he's a rebounder. He hustles. I mean, whose game do you think he can get his game with late in the NBA now? I was trying to figure that out. And I like the way he plays the game. I mean, he's a, you know, unselfish. And he doesn't have to do it. I mean, who do you compare him to?
I like his game. I think on offense he's underdeveloped. I really kind of wish he would stay in college and play another year, but you can't, you know, turn down an opportunity to be the first overall pick in the NBA and go to Charlotte and play for the Bobcats, and then your career never takes off from there. But, you know, to me, he's like a young Kevin Garnett. He's what Kevin Garnett was in 95. He's aggressive defensively. He attacks and blocks shots. He's a longer, more defensive minded version of Kevin Garnett to me.
Yeah, and I was gonna say the same thing. He reminds me of KG. He looks like the kid John Henson from North Carolina. I mean, they're similar. But I said the same thing. I mean, I think when he becomes a better jumper, he gets a little more range, he's gonna be held in the NBA. It's just gonna be a matter of who's gonna be here around him and Charlotte. I mean, Charlotte is just like, you might as well stay in college. I mean, people forget that Charlotte has an NBA team. If it wasn't for Michael Jordan being the owner and them bringing up Charlotte, I mean, we wouldn't even know they got an NBA team. So it's going to be tough. It's going to be difficult for him to be in Charlotte. But we'll see how that plays out. I mean, hopefully Jordan gets some talent in there, finds some free agents, and develops a team around him so we'll forget about him. You know.
Well. I'm gonna tell you what else is a feasible possibility. The New Jersey Nets, they have Darren Williams, and they have acquired Wallace. And with their record, they'll be one of the teams with the little ping-pong lottery balls. And, you know, with them moving to Brooklyn and the stadium, the NBA is going to probably, you know, because that draft lottery stuff is rigged, they say. So I could see Anthony Davis going to New Jersey to play with Darren Williams at the 1 and Brooke Lopez at the 5. Himself at the 4 and Gerald Wallace at the 3, and the Nets immediately become a playoff contender.
Well, I forgot about the lottery, and you're right. You know, just depending on how the lottery balls fall, there would be, you know, a huge determining factor in his future, because, like you said, man, if that happens, he is a Charlotte. I mean, man, you know, so for his sake, hopefully, he heads to the New Jersey Nets, and like you said, make him an instant playoff team. And speaking of New Jersey, as I was about to say, Jets, New York Jets, what's up, man? I mean, we talk about T-ball all the time, we're keeping it real, and he's now a Jet. where I'm at, you know, to talk about Mark Sanchez. And to me, I honestly think they talk about Mark Sanchez too much. He's a pretty good NFL quarterback. He's been to playoff games, been to championships, and with a running game and a defense. And as I said over and over again, I think somebody like even a Campbell is just as good as Mark Sanchez, but they talk about him so much because obviously he's New York and he went to USC. But he's okay to me. He's okay. But now they got Tebow in there. I'm not looking for Tim Tebow to take his position, but it's going to stir up a lot of controversy in New York with Tim Tebow being there because you can't have Tim Tebow and him actually be on the sideline. I mean, the first incomplete pass Mark Sanchez throw, the first interception, first time he eat a hot dog on the sideline, they're going to be screaming for Tim Tebow. Well, what do you think about that move, man? I mean, what do you think they're going to do with Tebow, and what do you think about that move?
I think it's gonna close the casket on Mark Sanchez. If I was Mark Sanchez and my team traded for Tim Tebow, that day I would have almost, you know, demanded a trade, and I would have tried to, you know, go to somewhere where they need a quarterback. Because, like you said, the first time, you know, in the first game of the year, in the first two quarters, if Mark Sanchez throws three interceptions and the team is not moving the ball, then the crowd who ultimately pays the bill, who foots the bills, you know, with the owners in the boxes looking down, and when they go to hollering, Tebow, it's going to be hard. Now, I think Rex Ryan is a hardcore enough guy and a hardcore enough coach to not listen to the fan base for a minute, but in the end, I think Tim Tebow will end up replacing Mark Sanchez, and he'll be, you know, out of there.
Well, I'm there. Okay. I mean, you know, we talk about Tebow a lot. I don't want to talk about him too much. With the bounty, man, with all this crazy bounty talk, and with the New Orleans Saints, Sean Payton getting suspended for a year. I mean, do you really think it's worth the year? I mean, I know the commissioner's trying to make a statement. He did make a huge statement by suspending him for a year. But do you really think it's worth the year?
Is to me, it's not. Everybody knows from, you know, Pop Warner football to the NFL. If I got an opportunity to, you know, try to get their best player out of the game, I don't want to, you know, hurt him seriously. I just want to get him out of the game. Then that's the, you know, that's what people plan to do. So a Cam Newton, yeah, you want to get Cam out, because if you get Cam out, you'll bring in Jimmy Clausen. You know what I'm saying? So I don't think it's as huge of a deal as the league is making it, but the league, you know, with these lawsuits about concussions and safety, and all these older players coming back trying to get at the NFL pockets, you know, they on a crusade per se to make the game safe. So I think it was overkill. I don't think the appeal process will work for the coach, for anybody who was involved with this thing. And I think the Big Tuna is gonna coach him. He's gonna coach the Saints this year.
What you think about that, man? I mean, Bill's been going for a minute. You know, stern coach, very, you know, disciplinary kind of guy. Obviously, he knows how to deal with certain types of players. I mean, he coached LT. He can coach LT, he coached anybody. That's more similar for you young fellas. I'm a young fella myself, but, you know. But how do you think that's going to work, man? I mean, he ain't coached in a minute. Last time he coached, I want to say he was in Dallas. He coached T.O. too. You know, if you coach LT and T.O., you can coach anybody. So I'm not necessarily worried about the kind of coach that he is, rather than the kind of things that have changed in the National Football League since Bill Parcells has been a coach. I mean, he's been very successful back in the day. What, early 2000s, he was successful as well. So I want to see. I mean, this is going to be very interesting. Obviously, I want to see because Drew Brees obviously has control of that offense. And
I'm just going to see if he's going to implement some of the things that he is as a defensive-minded coach.
Or what? I mean, I just don't know how it will all go hand in hand. I mean, is Sean Payton still going to have his hand in the offense from home, and you know, go through Parcells to get the stuff, you know, to Brees throughout the week for preparation, or is Brees going to be like, okay, I got this. I know the offense. I've been doing it for you know, 3, 4, 5 years with you, Sean. I'll take control of this. Bill, you get the defense. You make sure they're on point. I just want to see how it's all going to work out. I mean, what's your assessment of it? I mean, do you think that it's going to go something like that, or do you think Bill is just really going to be there just overseeing with his hand not too much into the offense or the defense?
Yeah, I think he's going to be brought in, man, to be a pseudo figurehead. You know, Sean Payton is going to talk to him on a daily basis, you know, and help him, and they'll probably lean on, you know, like I said, he's not replacing the staff. You know, his staff is back intact, especially on offense. So, you know, those guys will gel and have it going on, and Bill will be just there to oversee. He'll be able to make the decisions of a head coach, you know, the ones that he made when he was Sean Payton's boss, and Sean Payton trusts him, and you know they know each other. So, like I said, I think it's a good deal for both parties. You know.
Yeah. Speaking of that, man, while we on football, let's fly into college football a little bit. And the Auburn Tigers open up spring drills. I'm hearing a lot of promising things from the young players, the new coaches getting accustomed to being on the planes. Here, the aggressive style of defense that's coming in. Here, the more pro-style type of offense that we've been used to seeing at Auburn throughout the years back on the plane. We put a little bit of spread mixed into it. So, well, Matt, what are you hearing from up there on the plains, man? I Clint Mosley's been out a little bit. Like he has been, you know, it's into the quarterback race, but it looks like Kyle Frazier's to lose for right now. So far through the spring practices and heading into the fall. What are you hearing up there on the plains?
Corey Grant is the real deal. And I believe that, and I believe he will be probably the best back at Auburn this year.
Who's that? I'm sorry, what did you say?
Corey Grant.
Okay.
Transfer from Alabama. Man, he'll be, you know, his work ethic is unmatched. He is super fast. He is, you know, tough. So, Kyle Frazier's looking pretty good. I think Mosley has a sore shoulder, but, you know, those are probably hurt feelings because he can see the writing on the wall. The wide receiver position is loaded with talent, but, you know, they haven't stepped up or been all that impressive. That kid that we saw at the camp a couple of years ago, Sammy Coates, they say he looked good in the first scrimmage, though, you know. And like you and I have said on here, he is going to be the real deal. He is going to be the truth. Offensive line is coming along defensively. Chris Frost, they say it's looking good. It's a great time to be an Auburn Tiger. The team is young, you know, so I think once again this year, the fan base should kind of prepare to get put around for another year, you know, until the O-line and D-line actually build up enough strength to hold up in those trenches. I think
it'll be a better product than last year. I can understand what he's saying as far as the offensive defensive lines, but I really think that the offensive line may come around to be one of the strengths of our team this coming year. I mean, we have a lot of depth. We've got guys that have been there, been with Yawks, have played through the SEC schedule, you know, I mean, tough, you know, tough times in the SEC last year. And yeah, it's not going to happen overnight. By the time those juniors are seeing, they will be that much better. You know, but I think with the nuclear effects coming back, not too many true freshmen are going to be counted on to start. We got a couple that may be backups, like the kid, Patrick Miller. You know, I heard he stepped in and did an outstanding job in the scrimmage going up against Lemonnier. You know, we got plenty of, you know, we got offensive linemen for 4 or 5 stars for days that are on campus now. And I think, you know, with Westerman stepping up, Greg Robinson stepping up, the center went through, you know, the SEC last year, the kid Max from South Carolina. I just think that we've got a lot of guys on campus that have been with y'all that are going to be, you know, going to be ready for the rest to come this year. Now, defensive line-wise, I think we may be a year away. I think we may be a year away. Linebacker-wise, we may be a year away. So it's gonna, you know, I think they're gonna be a determining factor on the season as far as, you know, if we lose 3 games or we lose 6 games. I mean, the defensive line and the linebacker, I think the secondary is gonna be a strength. We got guys coming back, Chris Davis, Richard Florence, McNeil, Parisi, you know, Whitehead. I think, you know, those guys have played and they're gonna step up. It's gonna be huge at the defensive line, the linebacker step up. If we want to be looking at a, you know, 3-loss season or 6-loss season. I mean, that's just my opinion. Ron Mack is already going in saying we're going to lose. How many?
Between 4 and 6.
Okay.
Closer to 4. I'm thinking, you know, like 8 and 4, you know, maybe win the 9th. Game in a bowl, kind of like this year's team. I don't think we'll be blown out like we were last year. I think offensively, our strategy will be a little different, and we're going to look like a different team. But I think with the talent that's on campus in the skill positions, we'll be able to score some points. Like you said, the offensive line, though, they are talented. They were 4- and 5-star guys, but they have only been with Yox 8 months, you know, and when you take into consideration that other teams around the SEC are bringing back 4 out of 5 linemen, offensive linemen, and they're all, you know, juniors and seniors, and then you look at our defensive line, and we have true sophomores and true juniors. Well, like I said, with Whitaker and Carter, I think they should be strong enough now. But
Eliminator, he's an awesome player right now. I mean, I'm just looking at depth wise.
Eliminator's an all-SEC player.
I mean, we gotta find 2 or 3 more guys like them to be able, you know, to handle that, you know, with the depth.
But he still has a weight problem, though, Jay Mack. That's all.
I mean, he's young, but he's on the edge. And, I mean, he's a Quentin Rose kind of player. He's going to get you sacked. I think he honestly plays a lot better. I mean, we had guys like Stanley McGlover, Quentin Rose, my old man Reggie Torburn. I mean, that were 240, 250 coming off the edge and can play the run if needed. And I think Lemonnier is that kind of player. I just think that obviously we need, you know, we got D-Way or whatever his name is, he's back. So, I mean, we have 4 serviceable SEC defensive linemen on the front. I think we just need to get the other, you know, freshmen and the Craig Sanders and the Gabe Wright to kind of step up a notch so we'll be able to have that 6-7-man rotation on defensive line to be successful in the SEC. So, you know, and like you said, it's going to be a learning process for a lot of these guys. But I think hopefully by, you know, by this fall, we'll be able to, they will be there, they'll be ready, they'll be able to compete.
True.
NBA, man. Oklahoma City Thunder on the run. Every year teams go on. Me personally, I think that this kind of run needs to be the kind of one that you will want in the playoffs. if that makes sense. I mean, obviously it is a regular season, but it looks strong. I just don't think that if it comes finals time, they're going to be, not saying they're going to be playing like this, but I think the person that he's going to step up. And right now, they're kind of just going through the motions to get to the playoffs. And I still got my Heat man going all the way. But the Oklahoma City Thunder, I mean, they beat off top teams in the NBA. They're on a run. They got power. But like I said before, they haven't been in that moment yet. I mean, the Heat got to that moment last year, and that happened. And I think it's going to be something similar with Westbrook and Kevin Durant when they get to the finals. Not to say they're going to, completely choke up, but I just think that if you look, in the past, that's how it's been. So we will see. We will see. Ron Mack, the basketball analyst. What are you saying? What are you saying? I mean, what do you say about this run? And are they the real deal? And are they the favorites to win the NBA? Or are you still kind of, skeptical on the Oklahoma City Thunder?
I think that Michael Jordan and all these teams that are at the bottom of the league should look at how OKC has built their team. They are, a prime example of a team that 4 or 5 years ago was awful. And right players, the right kind of players. They are a strong contender. Like I said, previously, on the real. I don't match up with them. Man for man, player for player. They'll nullify each other out. Kevin Durant and LeBron James will nullify each other out. And then, you'll have Harden and Bosh and, Serge and, the other guys. So I think they are the only team in the league. See Miami.
Yeah.
I said before, I don't think it'll happen this year because the trend in the NBA all my life, and I'm 30-something years old, is that you just don't show up at the party and kick the dough in. You just don't say, hey, boom, I'm here, I'm in the finals, and I'm going to win. Michael Jordan did it, but other than that, everybody else, it was a process. So I'm
thinking
that
Michael Jordan did it because it took time for him to go through the finals.
And they'll play the Heat. And the Heat will use the experience that they gained last year from losing. And they hope the Heat will win this year. And OKC may give them a run for their money next year.
Yeah, and I don't even think Michael Jordan did it. I think it took time. To go through the
wins. If Chicago wins, if the Celtics win, if anybody else in the Eastern Conference goes to the NBA Finals and have to play the Thunder will win.
Yeah. And I don't think with Michael Jordan, I think he had to go through the Detroit Pistons somewhat. So I don't think he really just showed up and won the finals. But hey, man, we'll see, man. I'm pulling for my Heat, man. LeBron got to get it. Not to say time running out. He's still a young guy, but this is the second year of the Dream Team or whatever they want to call themselves. And ain't got the ring yet. So we're going to see. The NFL draft, man. And they're saying that is RG3 with the Colts, or do you go with Andrew Luck? I think Andrew Luck is going to go first. And we know this is a huge pick. If you really look at it now, that you look at it after this past week, and Ryan Leaf being arrested a couple times, you would probably have to say that that pick by the Indianapolis Colts, when they selected the Peyton Manning, was probably the best pick in NFL draft history. if you really think about it, because to see what Peyton Manning did, has done for Indianapolis, what he did for Indianapolis. He led us to what Indiana, you forget that Indiana is a basketball and he made it a football. And I mean, they got a new stadium. Lots of things happened. Well, at the time that Peyton Manning, from the time Peyton Manning stepped foot in Indy to the time that he left. I mean, hell, we probably would have never even seen a Super Bowl in Indy if it wasn't for Peyton and get that, give you that exposure to where we all football, for them to be able to get a stadium, for them to be able to host a Super Bowl in a new stadium. I mean, there's so many things that Peyton did for that organization, obviously for himself, but he's done so much for that organization. And it was a debate. Do you go with Peyton Manning or do you go with Ryan Leaf? And luckily, and I'm sure they, thanking God every day that they picked Peyton Manning. Because if they didn't, I mean, you can't say, you can never say never, but I don't think any of that would have ever happened. It would have never happened. And obviously, first, watch Ryan Leaf, his family, for him to get clean or to get back, his life on track or whatnot. But I mean, you look at it, years later, however many years later, Peyton Manning's a Hall of Famer, probably one of the better quarterbacks to ever play in the National Football League, mastermind of offenses, popping on plays, great sense of humor, on television, on commercials. He's an icon. That Ryan Leaf, who's struggling, trying to stay out of jail. So I'm going to have to say that was the best pick in NFL draft history, Ron Mack. What do you have to, you can chime in on that. What do you have to say about just the recent, things that have been going on with Ryan Leaf, as well as Peyton Manning putting him, on top, through his time there?
Well, I think that pick was a no-brainer. It was, to me, a bigger no-brainer than the Cam Newton over Blaine Gabbert pick, because, last year was a lot of, Blaine Gabbert, he's my Mel Kiper, he's my number one quarterback on my draft board and all that kind of crap. Man, all of it is a crapshoot. And you have to, that's why the interview process of these young men is so vital and so important, to the process. The RG3, Andrew Luck thing, I think that in a case like that, it's kind of, people kind of look at it like the Peyton Manning situation where Peyton Manning was brought up in the NFL home by a quarterback, and Andrew Luck has been around pro athletics and college athletics his entire life, and he knows the sport and the process. And so the safety is Andrew Luck, when RG3 could turn into Akilee Smith, for all we know, but he could be, but Donovan McNabb, to me, said a mouthful when he talked about how he didn't think Washington was a good fit. Now, I think Donovan's a little bitter. I think he kind of hating on Shanahan because of how they situation ended and went down. But at the same time, you are going to need RG3 is going to need the same leash, the same rope, and the same opportunity that Andrew Luck is going to get. So if a team really isn't willing to extend that leash for him, I don't think they should pick him.
Yeah, I think that as it goes for every position, depending on where you go, who they have, how the coaches, adapt to your ability. I think it goes down like that. And even for a receiver, if you draft Justin Blackmon and expect him to be a Calvin Johnson, Randy Moss kind of deep threat, then he may end up being a bust. Not to say he can't get deep, but he may end up being a bust. But if you draft Justin Blackmon and you expect him to be like an Antoine Berman, Reggie Wayne kind of possession receiver that will go deep here and there, then he may be a Pro Bowl. So I think it all comes down to when you get drafted or what the team does with you, what they put around you, what opportunity they give you. I think Donovan made a great point, not to say that it's not a great fit. It just depends on if Shanahan makes it a great fit for him. Because if Shanahan wants to make it a great fit and let him do what, you know, do the things that he can do, the way he did at Baylor, then it's going to be a great fit. But if Shanahan has a leash, it doesn't give him, you know, the full reign of the offense, then he may, you know, you never know. You never know. So I think, you know, it's going to come down to that. But I think Shanahan knows that, hey, like Donovan said, if I get an RG3 and we don't, you know, it doesn't work out in the next 2-3 years, then I'm out of that. And I'm out of that. You know, hey. We will see all the time will tell. So, but I think with RG3, you know, still, I think he will be very successful in the NFL. It's just going to be what Shanahan does with him, the kind of offense he puts him in. Going to let him run a little spread. Going to let him run a little read option. Going to let him, you know, all about the line of scrimmage and things like that. Because, like, Cam, you see what they're doing. They run a lot of plays in Carolina that Cam ran at all. And that he's comfortable with. And I think that's why Cam had this great rookie year, because Mike Schumer, the Alabama guy, let the other man do what he had to do. And I think that's why Cam was so successful his rookie year. Just like what I bring up Aquan again, I was watching on the NFL Network. And Aquan was put in a position as a receiver to where they weren't counting on him to go deep. They wanted him to catch the big routes, short dry routes, you know, the bubble screens, and let them catch and run. And he built rookie records. And I think that's what teams have to kind of envision when they're drafting a player, what do they want to do. And I think that's why Belichick is such a great coach, because when he drafted Aaron Hernandez, he drafted Gronkowski, he had a vision, he had a plan on what he wanted them to be. And it happened sooner than later, because he knew he had Tom Brady. He used Tom Brady's strength. He put them in the offense and let them do what they had to do. And they're both, you know, damn near play bowlers. So, you know, I think that's huge. And with Tampa Bay, speaking of that, on open up the subject with Tampa Bay and what they have, the offensive line they have, and the quarterback they have, yeah, they need help lots of places. But if you have a chance to draft a once in every, you know, 6 to 7, maybe 10-year kind of running back coming out of college with speed, doesn't fumble, come from a good, you know, good program, great coaching, powerful bag, got hands. I mean, you got to pick them. Yeah, you got LeGarrette Blount. LeGarrette Blount is not Trent Richardson. Yeah, he'll jump over you. He runs hard, but he runs high. He fumbles, you know. He had his off-the-field issues. So, no, LeGarrette Blount is not Trent Richardson. Trent Richardson is Trent Richardson. I think if you team him up, you got Kelly Winslow, Richard Jackson, Mike Williams, you put Trent in that backfield with LeGarrette coming in when he needs to, and that offensive line they have, I think, you know, Tampa's looking at a bright future. And now, defensively, they got a lot of holes to play. I'm speaking offense. You know, so when people say, oh, running back's in the top 10, man, if you got a running back, you got a receiver, O-line, whatever position, if he's that dominant at his position as a coaching level, you probably should pick him somewhere in that top 10 in the NFL draft. I know I said a lot there on that, and I know you said, okay, now they got Vincent Jackson. They should pick him. What do you think about these picks after the first two? After Washington picks? And after Washington picks, I mean, how do you see the draft going after those two picks?
In order for Tampa to be able to get Trent Richardson, I think they are going to have to execute a trade up. Trent Richardson will not make it past 4 with the Cleveland Browns.
Okay, and like I said, they would be smart because they don't have a Trent Richardson. I mean, they got Colt McCoy. They're trying to build a team.
Whoever that is sitting in 3, I think it's who got the third pick, man?
Oh man, who is it? I know Cleveland has 4.
Cleveland has 4. Who's in that third spot, man? Tampa should be in negotiations with them as we speak, because I think that third team they're talking about the offensive tackle from USC. So If they could pull a switch and go to five, I think Cleveland will, if Cleveland can't get Trent Richardson at four, I think they'll probably do Blackmon. They'll probably do Justin Blackmon because they drafted Joe Thomas a few years ago. So he's their left tackle. I don't think they'll go for a tackle. I think they'll go to Blackmon. But if the Bucks stay behind them, Peyton Hillis is gone. So I think Trent Richardson is a natural fit for the Cleveland Browns at four.
And I think that will help Trent before. I mean, anything you can do to help Trent, I think his best fit will be Tampa just because they have that much around him. And like you said, they should be trading up. They should be in negotiations as we speak. But who knows what Tampa and the things that they do and the way that they draft, because, you know, they've done a lot of questionable things here in the Ron Mack. So you say that he's gonna win they're gonna win the NBA. Is that your pick?
I don't want that to happen. I'm a Laker fan, but when the Lakers
speaking of the Lakers, what's going on? I mean, they're benching their stars.
Well, you know, that is, you know, what people call a coach who's trying to take control of a team. I think that the Mike Brown hire was awful, and that's me. Like I said, I've been a Laker fan since, you know, Magic and Kareem and Byron Scott and Michael Cooper, you know what I'm saying? So I've been a Laker fan for a long time, and he was a good hire for the head coach. But if you're going to make that hire, that coach has to have the backing of the owners and the GM. So I think he has that, but what he doesn't have is the respect of Kobe. I don't think Kobe respects him. I don't think Bynum just flat out said, man, look, I'm going to shoot some old threes. He's just going to have to take me out, you know, and then the next night. Yeah. You know, he bench Bynum, and Bynum sitting down there, everybody else up in the huddle. You know what I'm saying? And Bynum sitting down, he said he was chilling. That ain't involved him because he wasn't in the game. So, you know, it's gonna be some trouble out there. I don't know how long Mike Brown gonna make it. You know, especially with the youngster. See, there's nothing Mike Brown can do for Kobe Bryant because Kobe is there. Kobe will be there. And if it came down to, you know, Kobe or Mike Brown, you know, at the age that Kobe is now, the organization may choose Mike Brown. But when your young stars like Andrew Bynum, when Bynum beefing with you, there's only one role for Bynum to do, and that's one thing for Bynum to do, and that's hit the road, you know, because he is the future. So, you know, you got to use Bynum, you know, to try to get Dwight Howard, somebody like that, to come out and, you know, who going to have your back and give you 100%.
Well, we got another caller in, a sleeper prospect out of the state of Alabama, Siobhan Holiday out of the net. What's going on, Siobhan?
Not much. Been in the staff, my baby's been born.
Well, I'm sorry, I can't hear you. What did you say, mate?
I said, just in the staff, my baby was just born.
Man, congratulations, man. Had a baby born. Was it a boy or a girl?
Say what?
Okay, man, congratulations, man.
Thanks.
Bringing new life into this world. Congratulations. Well, Siobhan Holiday, people, listeners, is a quarterback, dual threat prospect out of the net, Alabama, man. How long you been playing quarterback?
I've been playing quarterback. Wait, you can say this. You can say a year, really. You can say a year.
Right,
that's my
fault. All right. Yeah. If listeners, if you don't know, you want to check them out, go to YouTube, type in Siobhan Holiday, quarterback, dual threat quarterback, trying to do big things, the class of 2013 prospect. Man, what's some of the interest? What are some of the schools that, you know, that are calling you for or that you get letters from?
Well, the main school that's, like, called is Southern Miss. And school interested me, like, Mississippi State, Arkansas, I get letters from Georgia Tech, Duke. It's a bunch of schools. No, you can't really just say them right out top.
Okay. What was your favorite school? Some of your favorite schools growing up, or some of your favorite players? I mean, I know you're coached as far as, you know, distance from your high school or whatnot. What were some of your favorite college teams, man, growing up?
Well, my favorite school was Auburn, and what made me love Auburn was Cam Newton. So, you know, I look up to him.
Yeah,
I would be the next one.
Absolutely.
Ron Mack.
Yeah.
I look up to him, though, but.
Yeah. Ron Mack, you
still
online?
Yeah, I'm on.
Ron Mack, man. You got any questions that you want to ask, you know, Mr. Jamal Holiday? Obviously, I know you know.
Mr. Holiday. How tall are you, sir?
For me, I'm like six, you know. I'm like in cleats. I'm like about 6'1.5" in cleats. Well, 6'6".
Okay, you are. Is quarterback the only position that you're interested in playing?
I mean, I'm interested in quarterback, but you know, I'm willing to do whatever, just play. And I mean, coaches like me at quarterback, you know. I mean, but if they want me to play something else, you know, it wouldn't be no problem with me.
Okay, have you
heard anything from UAB or? You know, you talk because they got a new coaching staff down there. You talk to any of them guys. Where you plan on camping at this summer, man?
I'm sorry, what did you say, Ron Mack?
Where you plan on camping at this summer, Shavar?
I plan on camping at as many schools I can go to. Auburn, Michigan State, Arkansas, Southern Miss.
Okay. If you had to say a favorite school right now, just throughout the recruiting process or through the calls or the letters that you got, I mean, who would be, you know, one of, you know, your leader right now?
Well, right now I can tell you, like, Southern Miss, you know.
That's a good school, man. I know the kid who's gonna be the starting quarterback down there this coming year, man. That's a good school. He is an excellent quarterback. And they got some talent down there, and that ain't nothing. That's Conference USA football.
So that's a good spot. Yeah, that's true right now.
Absolutely.
Hey, I know.
Hey,
I was
what,
like,
what are some of the things you want to work on this summer, man? Before the fall season hits.
Say what?
What are some of the things that you want to work on as a quarterback before the fall season hits?
Work on being smarter, you know. That's the most thing, and being a leader. Lead the team, have the team on my back.
What class of football is that, man? Is that 2A or 3A? What is that?
We 2A. Lynette, yeah, we 2A.
Y'all 2A?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I'll tell you. Okay.
So what are our chances, man, to make a run this year at the state title?
Say what?
I said, what are the chances that you guys think you can play at the state championship?
What I got to do is lead the team, keep them up, keep their heads up, make them work. I know, lead by example. They lead off me. Lead by example. I learned about Chad Jones gone, so now time for me to know I got to do my leadership. He going to UAB, so now it's my time.
If you were to play quarterback, what position do you think you would be best?
Cornerback or something. Cornerback or safety.
Okay. Do you get to play a little corner or safety in the games or whatnot? Or be
best? Well, before I transferred from Hanley, when I was at Hanley, I was starting at cornerback. But when I got to Lynette, I ain't playing nothing but pure quarterback.
Okay, yeah. And like I said, man, you want to check them out, you know, go to YouTube. I think Shavar Holiday, big time player, man. Super prospect. I call him a super prospect because, you know, a lot of schools know about him, but a lot don't. And I think, you know, after a big season, this year, and helping Lynette win some games and whatnot. I think you know, everybody will know who he is by then. Jamal,
what's up?
Get out of here, keeping it real. We appreciate your time. Congratulations on your new baby. And while I'm out, next time, next week, same time. Keep it real. We out of here.
Thanks for listening this week. Tune in to Keeping It Real with Jairus McIntyre again next Tuesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. Until then, keep it real, real, real. Keep it real.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.